Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Miami Vineyard Podcast. We hope this message encourages you, breathes life into you, and helps you experience God's love. Enjoy the message.
Hey, Miami Vineyard, so good to see you. So good to have those of you joining us online today. Can we make some noise and welcome in our online Vineyard family? If you're online with us, haven't said hello in the chat yet, now would be a great time. My name is Kevin. I'm one of the pastors. So I wonder how many of you can relate to this. You're in your bed, you're trying to fall asleep, and your mind starts racing. Just one thing after the next, you know, and you know, did the kids do their homework? Did I even ask them about their homework? And did it, oh, they got a spelling test, and oh, do I have stuff for lunch the next day? Or maybe you're thinking about, I got to remember to get my oil changed. And then you think, oh, every time I take it to this place, they upcharge me for this, and I forgot I spilled my Starbucks in my car, and that's what it's stinking right now. And just one thing to the next, to the next, to the next. Now, I wonder, how many of you can relate to that? You're going, Pastor Kevin, I know exactly what that's like. Let me see your hands. Come on, a little honesty now so you can relate to that. Relate to that, relate to that. Yeah, yeah. If you're online with us right now, just put that's me in the chat. That's me, that's me. Okay, let me take it just the other direction for a minute. I wonder how many of you fall asleep immediately. Like, your head hits the pillow and, like, you are gone. Okay, come on, let me see those hands. Anybody? That's you? That's you? Come on, put them up. Let me see. Come on, put them up, put them up. Okay, look around, look around. Don't you just hate people like that? Yeah, absolutely. Yes. We've been in a series now. We're in week three of a series that we're calling Winning the War Zone. We're talking about winning the battle that happens right here, between the ears, in the brain, the mind. And we said this, what happens here affects so much of what happens there. What we think about determines the direction of our lives in so many ways. And we've said things like this. We said, most of life's battles are won and lost here in the mind. So we've been talking about this. This is week three of the series. Now, if you missed any of the first two weekends, you can get them all on your leisure, online, on YouTube, on our app, on MiamiVineyard.com, on Facebook. So make sure you get the previous 2 weeks because it has been powerful so far. Now, work three. We've got four and five still coming. So you still got a chance to invite your friends and join us for this series. But this has been a powerful series so far. But these minds, right? These minds, they just race all the time. And oftentimes they race about stuff that we don't even need to worry about. Like, for example, you're a student and you're worried about making a bad grade in the exam. And your mind starts racing. And you're going, if you make a bad grade, then you won't get the GPA you want. And if you don't get the GPA you want, you won't be able to get the right job. And if I can't get the right job, I won't be able to marry the right person. And if I marry the wrong person, we're going to have the wrong kids. And after the wrong kids, they're going to have braces. I don't know why the wrong kids have braces. But anyway, your mind just starts going and going and going. And it's just, we know what this is like. It just doesn't stop. It just goes. And it doesn't make any sense. I mean, these minds, they race in all kinds of crazy directions. Maybe you got a headache, and instead of just taking two aspirin, your mind starts racing, and you're going, oh, I wonder what's wrong. Maybe it's a tumor. And you search on WebMD, and then you're going to find out you'll be dead by morning. I mean, these minds, they just go, they just go, they just go. There's all kinds of things that are happening. And look, let's be honest. There's no shortage of things to be worried about. You've got the economy. You've got what's happening in the world today. Maybe what's happening to a loved one. Or maybe it's what's happening to you right now in your life. You're fighting for a good marriage. And you're just wondering what's going to happen. You got bills to pay. You don't know how you're going to pay them. You're trying to make decisions about your future. And it's easy for your minds to race and to be overwhelmed with worry, anxiety, and fear. There's a very real war happening here. That's the bad news. Here's the good news. You don't have to fight the battle alone. You have a God who loves you, who cares for you, who sees you, and who's concerned about you. You got to know, you have a God who loves you, who sees you, who cares about you, and who is concerned about you. This God is more concerned about these things than we are. That's the kind of God we have. And he's given us his presence, and he's given us his power, and he's given us this book. And we've been looking at this book each and every week with the truth of God that's in this book. And we know this. Well, you've heard this before. You will know the truth, and the truth will what? It will. Yeah, you know this. We've heard this. And the truth will set you free. So we've been looking at this in the series. Today, as we continue the series, I want to talk today in part three about attacking anxiety. Now, here's what I'd love for you to do for me as we get started. I'd love for you to locate some message notes. So if you've already downloaded our Miami Vineyard app, our notes are all virtual. They're on the app. If you've already downloaded the app, you can just open the app right now. If you haven't yet downloaded the app, very easy download. Go to your app store, search Miami Vineyard, or even easier, if you're in the room today, scan this QR code in the seat back in front of you. Scan this QR code. The app will come up just like that. Once you get the app downloaded, tap on This Weekend, and then tap on Message Notes, and you can find them both in English and Espanol right there in the app. The reason I want you to open up that app is because there's some verses that we're going to look at today, powerful verses when it comes to this whole anxiety thing. And there's a few next steps at the end I want to put in your hands as well. So if you want to open that app. So today I want to look at a couple of verses from the Bible. Before I do that, these verses were written by a guy named Paul. Now, in this series so far, we've been talking for the past couple weeks about this guy, Paul. Paul was a hero of the faith. Paul wrote most of the second half of our Bibles. This guy, Paul, lived a couple thousand years ago. And Paul's dream, he was a pastor, he was a missionary, started churches. Paul's dream was to go to the city of Rome. Back in the day, Rome was it. Rome was the epicenter of society back in the day. Paul's dream was to go to Rome. And he wanted to preach in Rome and impact millions of people. But instead of that happening, he did get to Rome, but he got to Rome as a prisoner. He's in prison. He's in a dungeon. He's in jail waiting to be executed. And he writes these words. He's not on a cruise ship in the Mediterranean Sea. He's not sipping on margaritas and eating shrimp and escargot. He is in prison, waiting to be executed. And here are the words Paul writes. Philippians chapter 4 says this to us. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your, what's it say? And your minds in Christ Jesus. He says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, pray. Pray, give it to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will fill your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So you know what I want to do? As we get started here, I would love for you to pray with me for just a moment. Because it says to pray, pray. So let's pray for just a second. God, I thank you for the promises that we have in your word. Thank you, God, for the gift of your peace. And I pray, God, I ask, God, because I know, God, there's so much worry and anxiety here in this place and people joining us online right now. God, I pray that you'd be with us, that your truth would realign our thoughts, realign our minds, realign our hearts, and God, that perhaps we could experience your peace and your presence in a way today that maybe we never have before. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So let's talk about this today. Anxiety, worry, fear, those kinds of things. Let's talk about this today. And as I said in the beginning, we're the five-part series, we're having a conversation. And so we're having a conversation today. So here we go. So I want to start with a little science lesson. In our minds is this little almond-shaped portion of our mind called the amygdala. In our minds, little almond-shaped portion called the amygdala. In fact, I have with me an almond. The amygdala in our minds is really no bigger than an almond. Not only is it shaped like an almond, it's about the size of an almond in our brain is the amygdala. Here's a graphic coming up on screen with our amygdala. And here's what the amygdala does. The amygdala sends shots of adrenaline. So if you ever find yourself in a moment where it's like a fight or flight moment, if you're experiencing any kind of a rush of adrenaline, it's the amygdala. It gives you that boost, that adrenaline rush. And so, but here in Miami, I don't think we should call it the amygdala. I think we should call it the amygdale here in Miami. That's kind of gets you going, kind of. So anytime you got this going on, the amygdala says, hey, it says, oyeme, look, be on your guard. It says, be alert. For example, if you see a poisonous snake, for me, any snake will do, but the amygdala kicks in and says, run. That's the amygdala. Or if you have an alarm system and your alarm system goes off at midnight and you wake up and your mind is racing and your heart is beating fast and you just everything kicks in, that's your immediate rush of adrenaline. That's your amygdala. It's part of the brain. And God gave us this part of the brain for survival, for all these reasons. It just kicks in. Whenever there's a stressor in your life, the amygdala kicks in, and God gave us that. The problem with it, it's not objective. It's not rational. It's simply hardwired that any time a stressor comes into your life, the amygdala kicks in, you get this rush of adrenaline. Now, for me, I had an experience one time. Some of you know that I grew up on a dairy farm just outside of Green Bay, Wisconsin. In fact, I got a picture on screen coming up here of our farm right now that I grew up in. And it's still there today. It still looks like that today. In fact, my wife and I were just back there 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, visiting on that farm, on that exact spot right there. My dad has passed away, but one of my brothers has taken over farming that farm. And still a very active farm, dairy cows, milking cows, all that kind of good stuff. But so when I was a kid, about 10 or 11, we already had to start working out in the barn at 10 years old. I don't think there were child labor laws back then, but anyway, 10 years old. My dad had 6 boys and 1 girl, and I'm one of those 6 boys. And so 10 years old, you're in the barn, son. So 10 years old, we're working, you know, doing what we can, you know, helping my dad on the farm. And so barns, the lower level are the animals. The upper level, called the loft, is where all the crops are kept and feed and stuff, like bales of hay, for example. So I remember it was a winter. I remember it was cold. I remember, that's why I moved to Miami. It's always cold in Wisconsin. And I remember it was dark. Like when you milk cows in the dairy farm, you get up at 4:30, 5 o'clock, and it was dark. And I remember this. So my dad sent me up into the loft to get some bales of hay down and push them down. And my dad was so tight. My dad, there's no lights up there. And so it's just, I'm telling you, when I say it's black, I mean it is pitch black. You had to literally walk your way, and you couldn't even see the bales. You just had to touch them with your hands and find them. And so, but there's this, so you crawl up this opening, about a 2 feet by 2 feet opening, and you crawl up a ladder, and you go up in the loft. And so there's a light coming through the loft, but that's all you got. And I remember, I was about 10. I remember I was getting some bales, I'm pushing them toward the opening, carrying toward the opening, and all of a sudden, I think I see a ghost up in the loft. And you don't think my amygdala didn't kick in? I'm 10. Now, the 35-year-old Kevin, listen, the grown Kevin knows this. It probably wasn't a ghost, okay? Because here's what it probably was. It probably was the hot air from the lower level ascending up into the upper level. It's cold up in the loft, and it kind of condenses, and it kind of forms this fog. But whatever reason, that it was moving around, and I mean, I'm 10. I think I see a ghost. And I am sweating, and I'm just, and so, I mean, I am running toward that opening. I don't take the ladder down. I jump 10 feet straight down and land. And my brothers are going, what the heck happened to you? And I said, I think I saw a ghost. And they laughed, just like you're doing right now. In fact, I was just home 4 weeks ago, as I mentioned. They still bring it up, how I saw a ghost up in the loft. And they're still laughing at me to this day. But can I tell you, to this, but because of that experience, every time I'm alone in the dark, even now a little bit, it still is a little bit of a stressor to me. And my amygdala kicks in, and thoughts start racing. It's just, even now. In fact, when my parents dropped me off at college just a few years ago, My parents dropped me off at college. It's a true story. And my roommate hadn't gotten there yet. Now, I grew up with a lot of brothers, as I told you. And so I never slept in a room by myself because I always had a brother in the room. So my parents took me to college, but my roommate hadn't gotten there yet. So I was spending the first night in the dorm room alone. And I tell you, I don't do too well because of the dark, because of what happened. My brain starts going. I start racing. I start like sweating and getting a little panic attack going on. And I look at my parents and I said, Mom and Dad, I don't think I can stay here. And so I hung out in their hotel room with them that first night. I'm sure they wanted a romantic getaway, and here's Kevin on the cot. But this is what the amygdala does. Now, as I said, that part of your brain's not objective. It just responds to stuff and to stress. It just responds. But so it needs a little help from a different area of a brain. The front of a brain is called the prefrontal cortex. And the prefrontal cortex is the logical part of the brain that tells the amygdala to stop messing around. But it's a logical part of the brain. So when you hear a noise in the house in the middle of the night and your amygdala says, you're going to die, your prefrontal cortex tells your amygdala it's probably just the cat. Because cats are always messing around. Always. So, but the amygdala, it tends to respond to our experiences. So for me, because of what happened when I was young, anytime I'm alone in the dark, it's a little bit of a thing that kicks in. And I told you last week, and I was bitten by a dog when I was younger too. So anytime I see a dog, it kicks in a little bit. And my guess is for you. You have events, you have things, you have people, you have places that are triggers for you. And all of a sudden, when that happens, it's like it's not a trigger for everybody, but it's a trigger for you. And when that happens, you got anxiety, you got worry, you got fear, you got a little kind of mini little maybe panic stuff going on. Yeah. And our mind starts racing, and we're completely overwhelmed by a runaway mind. This is why Paul says these words we're looking at today. He says, look what he says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, these situations, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. Notice he says, don't be anxious about anything. Could be a big test, could be a job, could be an interview, could be a health situation, could be a decision about your future, could be finances, could be having kids, could be not having kids, whatever situation. He says, don't be anxious about anything. Do you realize this? If something is on your mind, it's on God's heart. Do you realize that? If something is on your mind, it's already on God's heart. You got to know that God cares about you. He sees you. He loves you. These things that make our minds go, they're already in God's heart. They're already on his heart. So in every situation, prepare in thanksgiving, present your request to God. And what happens? The peace of God will guard your hearts and your what? And your minds. And your minds. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. But you know what we got to do? We got to pray. We got to look to God in these moments. You know, I'm always surprised how followers of Jesus look to everything else before we look to God. We try everything. And we say, well, I guess all I can do now is pray. And somebody says, has it come to that? Like it's this last thing. Look, do we realize this is the God who can move mountains? This is the God who can raise the dead. This is the God who can heal the sick. This is the God who opens blind eyes and opens deaf ears, who gives the lame walk. This is the God who calms the storms. This is that God. And we don't go to this God? This is the God who can do anything. You know, here's what I believe. If we really believe this about this God, I think we would pray differently, and I think we'd pray more frequently. If we really believe this about this God, prayer would not be our last line of defense, but would become our first line of offense. If we really believe that. So I want to challenge us today to believe in a God like that. And when we find ourselves and our minds race all the time for all kinds of things. We know that. When we find ourselves in those situations, pray. Look to God and believe the promise in the Word of God. Pray and look to God. But you don't realize that the prayer not only moves the heart of God, prayer changes the chemistry in the brain. There's actually a term for this. Not just in spiritual stuff, but in neuroscience. It's called neuroplasticity, which means the brain changes. That what we input into this brain, things we do or don't do, things we say or don't say, experiences we have or don't have, what we input into this brain matters, and the brain changes. It changes. It's called neuroplasticity, that the brain is constantly evolving and rewiring itself. There's been tons and tons of research on this. In fact, there's been more research on mental health than the brain in the past decade than there has been ever before. Tons and tons of research on this. And here's what some of the research shows. Research shows that prayer actually changes the brain. One of the researchers, Dr. Carolyn Leaf, a famous author and neuroscientist, here's what she said. It's been found that 12 minutes of daily focused prayer over an 8-week period can change the brain to such an extent that it can be measured on a brain scan. I mean, poof! 12 minutes, not 12 hours, 12 minutes a day of focused prayer for just 8 weeks can change the brain so much so that it actually shows up on a brain scan. Folks, that's powerful stuff. So you know what we're going to do for the next 12 minutes? We're going to pray. I'm just playing. I wish we had time to do it right now, but you got time to do that. You got time to do that. It transforms our brain. It renews our mind. So the question is, why do we worry? Why do we find ourselves anxious? If we're followers of Jesus and he's transforming our minds, why do we still have anxious thoughts? Why do our minds continue to race oftentimes in these ways? Well, science would tell us that our brains are being hijacked by our amygdala. And it begins to send these signals and says, you know, hey, any stressor, right? You better work harder. You better study longer. You better stay up till 2 o'clock in the morning. You better do all these kinds of things because it's messing with your mind. That's what science would say. But here's what I believe the Bible would say. I believe the Bible would say that maybe we need to pray a little more. Maybe we need to trust in God's promises a little more. Just maybe. Now listen. I'm not saying that all of our anxiety is going to be gone if we just pray a little more and read the Bible a little more. I'm not saying that at all. Listen, anxiety is a very, very real issue. And anxiety, there's all kinds of causes of anxiety. I'm talking about anxiety. Anxiety comes from a chemical imbalance. Could be a physical issue. Could be hereditary. Could be a thyroid issue. Could be traumatic experiences. Could be unresolved issues. Could be unhealthy lifestyles. Could be all kinds of reasons for this that happen with anxiety. And we're going to talk more about this in week 5. This is week 3. Next week, week 4, then week 5. But in week 5, I'm going to have 3 Christian mental health counselors, therapists on stage with me in week 5. And we're going to talk about this stuff. And we're going to talk about the kind of stuff that happens. So it's going to be a powerful time together. You want to be here for week 5 of this series as we talk about this. But all I'm saying, listen, I want you to hear me now. All I'm saying, it does not make you a bad person or a bad Christian because you have some anxiety in your life and because you're taking some medication for it. There are very real reasons why we have anxiety. And one of the best things you might be able to do is take some medication for it. You got a headache, you take 2 aspirin, nobody questions that. But yet sometimes we question taking medication for anxiety. I'm telling you, you don't need to question that. If you've got anxiety and it's you just have a hard time getting on top of it, take some medication. Science and faith are not opposites. Science and faith can work together. They really can. In this case, they can. If you got some major anxiety going on, take some medication for it. But don't stop praying. Don't stop looking to God, because God wants to give you his peace that passes understanding in your life. So don't stop looking to God. Don't stop looking to God. Science doesn't solve all of our problems. God does. He's the creator of it all. Science can help. Very, very helpful. But at the end of the day, God has the last word. And I think sometimes we underestimate the power in this book. And we need to reframe our minds. We gotta reframe our minds. And we gotta think about what we think about. We talked about this last week. We gotta think about what we think about. Oftentimes we don't think about what we think about, but the stuff we think about is the stuff that influences our minds, and it can be one of the biggest stressors in our life. Look what it says in verse 8. So now, brothers and sisters, as I close this letter, Paul writes, let me say this one more thing. Same passage, same church he's writing to, same everything. He says, what does he say? Look, Paul says, I want to help you with this. Here's his prescription. Ready? Fix your thoughts on what is true and good and right. He's telling us to think about. Think about this. Think about things that are pure, true, and good and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely, and dwell on the fine good things in others. Look at that last line. Dwell on the fine good things in others. You know, there's a lot of reasons why we get worried, we get anxious, we get a little, you know, that mind starts racing. But could one of the reasons that make our lives a little stressful, could one of those reasons be social media? Could it be? Could one of those reasons be social media? Now, look, I am not against social media. I am on social media. In fact, I'm on Instagram. In fact, if you're not following me, you should be. Pastor Kevin, MV. Shameless plug. But when you follow me, you're going to be encouraged. You're going to be going to breathe hope into you and life into you. But how many times are we on social media? You read something, and all of a sudden you feel yourself just like, stuff's like, I can't believe they said that. And you show your friend, look what they said. Look what they posted. And it just, we all know this. And it gets you going, and your amygdala kicks in, and it's a stressor, and your mind starts racing, and then you read the next comment, and you go down this black hole. Can I tell you, one of the best things you might do is unfollow some people, so they can't do this to you, Now, not me, but some people. One of the best things you might could do is unfollow some people. You have a choice of who you follow on social media. We have a choice of allowing people to mess with our minds or not. We have a choice to think about what we think about. So I just encourage you, think about what you think about. Now listen, please hear. I am not saying we should never hear people on the opposite side of how we believe. We should, absolutely we should. Yes, we should hear people from all sides, absolutely we should. I think we do ourselves a huge disservice when we lock ourselves into one echo chamber and all we hear are opinions and ideas from one particular aspect of things. We got to hear all sides. That's how we become healthy and whole. We got to listen to all sides. We don't got to agree with all sides, but we should listen to all sides. As a pastor, I have strong feelings about things as a pastor. But there's other people that I disagree with just vehemently, but I'll hear them. I'll listen to them. I won't agree with them, but I'll listen to them. Because we got to listen to each other. But look, one of the best things you might be unfollow. So, look, here's a study. I wasn't even looking for this study. This study found me this week. Look what this study said. People who stopped using TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook for 7 days, just 7 days, report a significant improvements in their anxiety, depression, and the overall sense of well-being. Just 7 days. Just getting off of it for 7 days. Do you know how much time the average person spends scrolling through social media? I mean, just like, The study I read said 2.5 hours a day. I think that's way too low. I mean, I think there's people spending 5, 6, 7, 8 hours a day scrolling through social media, just scrolling. Now, look, all I'm saying is this. We've got to think about what we think about. Paul says it like this in the next verse. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We take captive every thought to make obedient to Christ. We got to think about what we think about. So we hear a thought, right? We capture it. We challenge it and we change it if it doesn't align with the truth that's in the Word of God. That's what the Bible tells us to do. That we're trying to get our minds right. That's what we're trying to do in this whole series. I'm not going to allow that thought to control my mind. I'm not going to allow that negative thought to control my life. I'm not going to allow that to happen. I'm going to capture it. I'm going to change it by the power of God. So here's your homework, okay? I got a couple things. Some of you got the app open. You've got the message notes open. You're going, man, when's he going to get to those blanks? Here we go. I got 3 blanks for you right now. Here we go. Here's your homework. Ready? Here's your homework. 3 things. First, you got these worries, these things that happen. Here's number one. Give it to God. Whatever it is you're worried about, give it to God. I pray, I surrender, I give it to God. Now, that's not all you do, right? You know, you say, well, Pastor Kevin, I gave that exam to God. And I got an F. I don't get it. I gave it to God. Man, God sucks at taking exams. Listen, we give the worry to God. The exam is yours. Then that takes us to number two, right? We give it to God. Give it to God. But number two says, I partner with God. Which means if I got that exam coming up, yes, I give the exam to God. I give the worry to God. But that doesn't mean I just sit back and play video games all day. I gotta study. I gotta do what I gotta do. You gotta do what you got. If you got issues with your health, give it to God. But then you just don't sit back and just pray all day. You gotta eat, make some eating choices, make some exercise choices. So number one, give it to God. Number two, partner with God. Number three, no matter what, trust God. That I believe that there is a God who sees me, who loves me, who's more concerned about these things than I am, that he wants the best for me. I believe that about this God. So would you pray with me for just a moment? Let me just take a moment, let's just go to God right now. The Bible tells us, present your request to God. Do not be anxious about anything, but present it to God. So, Holy Spirit, would you come upon us now in this place, in your space at home, around the world, wherever you're watching from. Come, Holy Spirit. You can sense God's presence in this place. Here's what I ask you to do right now. As we continue to pray, would you take your hands and would you put them together on your lap? Just together, like somebody's going to pour something into your hands. And as your hands are there on your lap right now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take everything you're worried about and put it in your hands right now. Whatever it is, the person, put in your hands. Finances, put in your health issue. You're worried about school. You're worried about a decision. You're worried about this, that, whether it's a big thing or a small thing, it doesn't matter. Whatever it is that gets your mind going, whatever it is that gets your minds racing, whatever it is, just put in your hands right now. Place it in your hands right now. And here's what I want us to do. I want you to keep your hands together and slowly lift up your hands toward heaven. And as you get your hands above your head, I want you just to separate your hands and just leave your hands up in the air. And God, all over this place right now, God, all over this place, all over online, around the world, God, right now, hands are being lifted to you. God, we're surrendering these things to you, God. All of it, God, we're surrendering it to you. God, right now, all over this room, all over this room, hands are being raised to God. Like helium balloons going up to God. God, we give these things to you, God. God, we give them to you. God, all these issues, all these things that mess with us, that get our minds racing, God, we give them to you right now. Some of you, the peace of God is filling you in ways that perhaps it never has before. Some of you have had a rough start to a school year. You're giving it to God right now. Some of you, I just sense that's leaving right now, just lifting right now. And the peace of God is coming upon you right now. Some of you, it's a relational issue. And you've been carrying this around and carrying it around. It's just been a weight. And right now, you're letting it go. You surrendered that person to God. And you feel the peace of God. God, I thank you for what you're doing in this place today, God. God, we surrender, God, all these things to you. And look, if there's never been a moment in your life where you've surrendered your life to him, can I invite you to do that right now, right here? Just, I'm going to lead a simple prayer. You just pray it inside. Say, Jesus, today, I surrender my life to you. I need you. Jesus, I can't do this life without you. I need you to fill me. I need you to free me. I need you to take away, God, all these things I wrestle with. I need you in my life. Jesus, today, I commit my life to you. And God, I thank you for what you're doing in this space and in your space at home. I thank you, God, for what you're doing in this space, in our hearts, in our lives, and in our minds. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.
Thanks for joining in today. If you enjoyed this podcast, we'd love for you to leave a review, subscribe to this channel, and share with a friend. We'd also love the chance to connect with you. You can text the word NEW to 786-705-8930. Again, that's NEW to 786-705-8930. And we'll give you some next steps with how to plug in and get connected here at Miami Vineyard. We hope you have an amazing week, and thanks again for listening.